I do miss it when I'm not here. And her brother Zane did a great job. Appreciate him preaching on Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we're continuing our study through the Bible on basic Bible beliefs. And we started with salvation, and we're going to be going through here for the next several weeks. But we started on salvation, and there's three things that every Christian should know. The first one is that he himself is saved. And not only that, every person should know how he got saved. And that's what we're working on now. And the third thing is how to lead others to Christ. But a person, in order to get saved, they must realize that they're lost. And we've went over that. That we know that if you're saved in here today, you're a sinner that was saved by the grace of God. But you were a sinner. And someone has to realize that they're lost. Not only that, but a person must have a desire to be saved. And then third of all, they must accept salvation as a free gift and realize that there's nothing in themselves or nothing they can do to save themselves. There are people everywhere. You don't have to go very far from here to find someone that is working their way to heaven and they're trying to work to stay saved. And we covered many verses last week that talked about that, saying that if you have to work for it, then it is no longer grace, but it's a debt. Amen? And so you cannot work. Now, after salvation, you are supposed to work for God. You're supposed to do those things. And there'll be rewards and there'll be inheritances that you can earn, and we're going to get into that later on. But the works have nothing to do with whether or not you're saved or keeping your salvation. Amen? We went over a lot of that. All right, the key to salvation is believing and acting on what the Word of God says about salvation. We know the Bible says that a person must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. We find that in Acts 16:31 with the jailer. But exactly what does that mean? What do you have to do? What do you have to believe about Jesus Christ to be saved? And that's the question that gets asked. You cannot base salvation on an emotional experience. There's been some, when they come to the altar, man, they are crying, they're wailing or whatever it might be, and they're down there crying, and man, God's dealing with it. But I've seen some come to the altar and they don't shed one tear. They don't have any emotion on their face at all. And you get up and you say, well, I guess they got saved. I'm not really sure. But if they did what God told them to do, they're saved. And I've seen those same people get up, man, and serve God, do a great work for God. And it was not an emotional experience. And so if you're basing your salvation this morning on an emotional experience or a feeling, that's not a good base for salvation. The base for salvation is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. Some people cry conversion, some people don't do anything, but that doesn't matter. You can't base your salvation on those things. I remember when I got saved, I was crying. Amen? I realized what God did for me, and I was crying. Some do, some don't, and that's fine. Salvation is based entirely on the Word of God, and a person cannot get saved aside from the Word of God. Now, does that mean you have to have your Bible with you? No, it's good to have your Bible, but if they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved hearing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is Scripture. All right, are you there in 1 Corinthians 15? Amen. Say amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what?
Saved.
If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. All right, now he's about to give us the gospel by which we are saved. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel by which we are saved. In order for a person to get saved, all you have to do is believe that gospel.
Amen.
You say, preacher, man, that it seems like you'd have to do a whole lot more than that to be saved. That's all that we have to do to be saved, is believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to know you're a sinner and need a Savior and believe that He died on the cross for you and ask Him, and that's it, you're saved.
Amen.
That's all the Bible says you have to do to be saved. A person has to believe that Jesus died for his sins, was buried, and rose again in order to be saved. Now, it is possible for a person to believe this such thing in vain. You say, what do you mean by that? I can go down the road and ask a total stranger that who might be lost and say, do you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross? And he say, yes, I do. All right, he knows that. But it takes a heart belief that God did that for you to get saved. The Bible says that the devils even know that Jesus Christ, who He is. The devils know who He is. The demons knows who He is. Turn over to John chapter 1. Believing the gospel involves a heart belief and is not just a head belief. There's a lot of people that have a head knowledge, but that's not what's going to get you to heaven. It's not just knowing about Jesus and knowing that He died on the cross. It's believing in your heart. And we're going to look at that verse here in just a minute. Now let me tell you this before I move on any further. If anybody gives you a different gospel other than what's found right here, then it's a lie for today. The only gospel by which you're saved today is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Over in Galatians, I don't remember what chapter, Paul said, if any man teach another gospel, let him be accursed. Now you're going to find other gospels in the Bible. There's the gospel of the kingdom. There's the gospel of the angels, the everlasting gospel, and those things. This is the gospel by which we are saved today. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Alright, John chapter 1 verse 12. You there? Alright, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Alright, we learn from this verse that a person gets saved by receiving Jesus Christ. If you do not, if you have not received Christ into your heart and believed in your heart and asked Him to save you, then you're not saved if you have never done that. And I dealt with some folks last week and at the church I was at, and I had some folks come up to me after I preached. I preached a salvation message. I believe I'm going to try to preach that here in a few weeks. And so I encourage you here in a couple weeks. I always want you to invite folks to church, but I'm going to preach a salvation message, Lord willing, in 2 weeks. And so if you know somebody's lost, try to invite them. But I preached that message, and I made the statement that you might not remember the date. The only reason I remember remotely the date when I got saved, my mom's here tonight, she wrote it down somewhere. I think in her Bible, I think she wrote it down when I got saved. And that's the only reason I remember it's in July 1995, and I don't remember the exact date. But I told them that. You might not remember the date. You might not remember the exact date, but you know where you were when you got saved. Because I'm telling you, you'll never forget that life-changing moment in your life when you got saved and born again. You'll never, ever forget that. Well, I had a man come up to me after church, and he told me, he said, Brother Andrew, he said, I'm saved, but I don't know where I was. I don't remember when it happened. And I said, what are you basing your salvation off of? He said, when I started coming to church here, I just felt this is where I needed to go. That's not going to work. Amen? There has to be a time in your life where you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, and with your heart, you believed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, with a heart, man believes. With a mouth, confession is made, but it's the heart where you believe and where you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a lot of people that are basing their salvation experience off of a lot of different things other than, Brother Andrew, I remember when I was 9 years old, my testimony, 9 years old, Charity Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio, and that is the day that I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save me, and I'll never forget that day. I can replay. There's a lot of things I do not remember from when I was younger. I don't. Amen. I'm feel like I'm getting old. I'm turning 30 this week. But, you know, all these things. But there's a lot of things I don't remember. But I'll never forget that, Brother Johnny. Never. I mean, I did a lot of things. I played basketball. I played paintball and played in different basketball tournaments. And there's things that I try to remember back, and I cannot remember any of it. And those were fun times. But I'll never forget that day. And if you're saved in here this morning, in your mind right now, you can go back to that time. And you know right where you were when you met God. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation this morning. Come try to talk me out of mine. You can't do it. I know that I'm saved. And if I can talk you out of it this morning, then you might not have it. But I'm telling you that if you don't have that place in your mind, you say, I've been in church my whole life. That doesn't matter. What are you basing your salvation off of? And if it's something different than what this Bible teaches, then you're not saved. Wouldn't that be such a disappointment? And it's going to be a disappointment for untold millions that when they die and they wake up in hell and said, I thought that I had this thing figured out. I thought that I was saved because I went to that church. I was faithful to church. I gave money. Every time they passed the plate, I gave money. Every time they had visitation, I went on visitation. That's not good enough, is it not?
Amen.
Turn over to Revelation real quick.
Remember when the people said, Lord, have I not done this? Have I not done that?
Oh, yeah.
He said, depart from me, I never.
That's right. Well, we're going to look over here at Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. When you find your place, say amen. This isn't even in my notes, but I feel like it's what the Lord have us do. Revelation 20, 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what?
Works.
Their works. All right, remember that. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their what?
Works.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You're going to stand before, every person in here will stand before God one day. I heard a preacher preach an entire message on everybody gets to go to heaven. Alright? And you say, well, that's heresy. No, it's not. Every person sitting in here is going to stand before God in heaven. Every person will. And these people are standing on nothing, and God is going to judge them for their works. Okay? They're going to say, I gave money, I did this, I did this, I did this. They're going to go down the whole list of things, and He's going to say, your name's not written in the book of life. Because there's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. Nothing at all. We're not good enough. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And you cannot work your way to heaven. Jesus Christ did the work on the cross of Calvary. And the names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are those that accepted Jesus Christ in their heart. And whenever God stands up there and we get there to the judgment seat of Christ, amen, which is the one that we're going to stand before, we're going to be judged for the things we have and have not done for God. That's what we're going to be judged for. What we have and haven't done for God, but not for salvation. It's after salvation. Here, the great white throne judgment, those are going to stand before God, and He's going to judge their works. He's going to say, what have you done? And none of it is going to be good enough. Because His Son did it all. His Son carried the sin of the entire world, was laid on Him, and He died on the cross for you and I, and He did the work. And when you get saved, you just say, Lord, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. Would You come in my heart and save me? And the next thing you know, when God stands there, amen, if you're saved, you're not going to be at the great white throne judgment. You might be watching, you're not going to be participating in it. But these that stand here are going to be judged for their works because they did not accept the work that was done on Calvary. And you mean to tell me that God gave His only begotten Son? He sent Him from a perfect world in heaven down to earth to live with sinful man. And He became a man for us, and He felt everything that we feel as a man. He was tempted in every way like we are, but He did not sin. But He had to endure all that, and then He died a perfect man on the cross of Calvary, and He did it for you. And you're going to stand before God and tell Him, I was a member of a church, or I gave this much money, or I'm a good person, I'm a moral person. God, I've done all these things. And all he's going to wonder is, why did you not accept my Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross? I said it last week, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We see God's love on display in that verse. But John chapter 3, verse 36 says, the wrath of God abideth upon a person that does not have His Son. God loved the world enough to send His Son. But once He did that, the wrath of God is on you this morning if you're not saved until you accept His Son, Jesus Christ. He did love you enough to die on the cross for your sins. And thank God for it. But after that, it's all about His Son. What have you done with His Son? And the works are not going to measure up. But all a person has to do to be saved is just believe in their heart. It's what these verses are teaching us. He said, Brother Andrew, what about over here in the book of James or Hebrews or Matthew? You stick with us. We're going to learn how to rightly divide the Bible. I'm telling you this morning, you can see the Scriptures for yourself, what it says. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Turn to Romans 10 and Ephesians 1. We're going to go to Ephesians 1 first. Ephesians 1 and Romans chapter number 10. In order to be saved, you have to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins. We just read that in Romans 15. You have to trust Him as your personal Savior. Not that He just died for the whole world, but that He died for you. You have to accept that He died on the cross for your sins as your personal Savior. Ephesians chapter 1 and Romans chapter 10. I still hear pages turning.
Amen.
Amen. Got a few that have made it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, Ephesians 1, 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first, what?
Trusted
in Christ. Not just knew about, but trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye also, what?
Trusted
after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, which is what? What's the gospel of our salvation? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In whom also, after that ye what?
Believed,
ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. After that you trusted, when you believed in your heart, when you got saved, that's what you had to do. And if you did not do that this morning, man, I encourage you to do that today before it's eternally too late. We find here also, we're going to get into this same verse later on when we teach about eternal security, but when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God, He sealed you. And it said there in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the down payment of our, amen. He sealed us. He gave us that down payment. The Holy Spirit of God, He sealed you. Have any of you, I know we got some country folk in here. Have you ever had some canned goods that are sealed up? And you pop that top and open them up, amen. The Holy Spirit of God, He has sealed that new man inside of you. And sin cannot penetrate that new man no more. He's not affected by that anymore. Amen. And that's the part of us that's saved, that's going to heaven when we die. This old flesh still sins. It's still wicked. But the Holy Spirit of God sealed that new man at the time of salvation. And we're going to get into a lot of that later on. All right, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You should just be able to flip right to it. You held your place there. Amen. So a person has to trust God as their Savior. They have to believe. They have to receive Christ into their heart. And when you get saved by receiving a person, not a thing. The Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, is a person. Amen? He's a person. He's not just a thing. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Alright, Romans 10:13. The Bible says, for who? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that say for whoever's been faithful to church? Or whoever hasn't been a terrible person in society? No. There is no stipulation on whosoever. I don't care how you cut it or slice it. Whosoever means whosoever. In Greek it means whosoever. In Hebrew it means whosoever. It doesn't matter how you look at it. That's everybody. God can save anybody and everybody. You and I cannot forget everybody and anybody. I go preach in the prison and I don't want them guys telling me what they've done. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what they've done. You know why? Because I don't know if I'd be able to handle myself. I don't know how I would handle it if they told me that whatever they did involved a child. Amen. I can't forgive them for that. I wouldn't. If something happened to my daughter or one of these kids in this church, man, I could not forgive that person. I don't think I could. But God, Jesus Christ said, whosoever. And He can save the wickedest, vilest sinner, and He can save the youngest, most naive child. Amen? He can save them all. He said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So a person has to receive Christ into their heart. They have to believe God from their heart. They have to trust God. And the last thing they got to do is just call on the name of the Lord. The last step to salvation is acknowledging the fact that you're willing to put your trust, your belief, your faith in what He did on the cross of Calvary and ask Him to save you. I've knelt down with people at the altar before and I said, pray. I said, I've shown you the Scriptures. I've shown you that you're a sinner. I've showed you that Christ died for your sins. And all you have to do is ask Him to save you. I said, bow your head in the best way you know how. Ask Him to save you. And man, I'm telling you, I've heard some prayers that I was sitting there bawling, crying next to them. And I've heard some prayers where they said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need You to save me. I believe You died for me. Amen. Hey, that's all that. Yes, sir.
Here's another verse that's going along the same lines of what you're saying. It's Galatians 5:4. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace.
Right. The ones that, you know, Jesus, the grace, free gift of grace. He died on the cross. And if you're counting on your works for salvation, that grace is of none effect to you. Doesn't mean anything. That is a good verse to go with that. All right, you're still there in Romans chapter number 10. Look at verse number 9. Confessing Christ with your mouth is an open acknowledgement that you have trusted Him in your heart to be your Savior. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Amen.
Saved. I don't know that whenever a person sitting in their pew or wherever they're at, the very moment that they in their heart say, I need to be saved and I believe He died for me. Man, that when they step out of that pew and take that step of faith, man, that God doesn't just go ahead and save them, and the prayer is just the last part of it. That's the confessing with the mouth part. But you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And man, I thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ, and I thank Him for salvation. I thank Him that He made it so easy for us just to believe that He died on the cross for our sins. And again, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, you teach something like this and then people get all upset because they say you're throwing works out of the Christian life. I'm throwing it out when it comes to salvation because the Bible teaches that. But after a person gets saved, they are supposed to work. They're supposed to do good works. They're supposed to tell others about Christ. They're supposed to do those things. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We read these a few weeks ago. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye what?
Saved
through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Alright, now look what verse 10 says. After salvation. A lot of these churches and people that want to teach works for salvation, they include this verse and they go to the book of James and they try to mash all these verses together to say it's got to be works plus faith. Look what it says in verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good what?
Works.
Which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein, in them. After a person gets saved, they're supposed to work, but not for salvation and not to keep salvation. Salvation, again, I've met people that say that they believe that you got to get saved the same way that we believe, that I believe. Just ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. But after that, they believe you have to do so, you have to work and don't get out of church and don't get away from God or you'll lose it and you got to work to keep it. Again, when you do that, it's no longer grace, but it's debt. You've made grace of none effect again when you try to do that. And there's people that get to their dying bed and they're laying there, man, on their deathbed and they're about to go and they're praying over and over again, Lord, I pray I've done enough, I pray I've done enough, I pray I've done enough. They got saved when they were little. They might have got saved when they were a little girl or a little boy. They know that they're saved. They did what God told them to save them, but somewhere down the line, somebody's convinced them that you could lose it, and they get to the end of their life, and they're praying they've done enough works. Man, what a sad thing. Whenever I die, I'm telling you, there's only one person that really knows whether or not I'm saved, and that's me. There's fruit, I believe, in my life that would tell you that I'm saved. And you hope your pastor's saved, amen? That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? There's some that might not have saved pastors. But, you know, you could see some of the fruit in my life that might say I'm saved, and the Spirit of God bears witness with you that that you believe I'm saved. But there's only one person that really knows, and that's me. But I'm telling you, I know that I'm saved. And if I was to die this afternoon, I don't want to die this afternoon, I'm ready to go to heaven, but if I was to die this afternoon, don't worry about whether or not Brother Andrew knew whether or not he was saved. I know I'm saved. I know where I'm going when I die. And it'll be a sad time, but it could also be a time of celebration because I I'm in heaven. You don't have to worry about that. But man, it's sad. I've sat at the bedside of some folks holding their hand right before they die. Amen. They died a couple days later or even the same day later on. And they're sitting there saying, I hope I've done enough. I hope I've done enough. And man, I'm telling you, they were some of the best workers in the church. They had a good spirit. They had fruit of them of being saved. And they could take you back to when they got saved. I got saved when I was a little girl. But they're hoping they've done enough. Man, that's a sad thing to do, to get down to the end of your life and hope that you've done enough. I know that I'm saved. Now, I might get down to the end of my life, and there might be someone here might get to the end of their life, and you know you're saved, but you wish you'd have done more. Because we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every person that's saved. I've met the exact opposite. I've met people that say, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and that's all I care about. I've met them too. They know they're saved and thank God for it, but they're not going to lift their hand to do nothing for God. They're not going to give out a tract. They're not going to stand at a tent in hot sun and give out nothing. They're not going to do anything. They're just happy, but they're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. And everything that we've done, every work that we've done, well, it's going to be judged whether or not we did it for God or we did it for us. Amen? And it's going to go through a fire. And whatever comes out the other side, the precious stones we'll be able to give back to God. But I thank God that I know that I'm saved. You say, Brother Andrew, why do you keep harping on this? Because I'm afraid that there's some that does not know that for sure. And you got to get that thing settled. How in the world can you do anything for God not knowing that you're saved? You can't grow as a Christian, can you? If you can't get past salvation and knowing that you're saved, and I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to get into eternal security. But as far as salvation is concerned, there's three things that every Christian should know. They, number one, should know that they are saved. And we're going to get into more detail on how you can know that for sure from the Scriptures in some later lessons. And the second thing, which is what we just finished, is every Christian should know how he got saved. And if you're saved in here this morning, you're saved by acknowledging that you were a sinner, by that convicting power of the Holy Spirit, God drawing you, and you asking Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. And that's how you're saved this morning.